Isn't it wonderful that we've been told about the glory land, that God has revealed that to us, that the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt amongst us and died to pay the price for our sins so that we might live with Him in glory land. We have so much to be thankful for. There will not be a PowerPoint presentation for the lesson this morning. I think that's the first time I've done that here. But as I prepared some thoughts for today, I couldn't think of a really good way to do it in a PowerPoint presentation. But this weekend, of course, we're thinking about Veterans Day tomorrow. Parade yesterday and in Bowling Green and other such things. And so my thoughts have been kind of going towards that as well as thinking about this past week and the gospel meeting that had in Tullahoma, Tennessee. We're thankful for that one precious soul obeyed the gospel during that time and was encouraged by the brethren down there. It was a Sunday through Wednesday night gospel meeting. I've never done one of those before that I can remember, but one thing that impressed me was that every member of that congregation was present for every one of those services most of the time, and that was very impressive. Thankful for the encouragement and the support that I received from the congregation here that allows me to do that. That was one of the things that was pointed out to me when considered coming here, was that the members here said, you're a gospel preacher, and if somebody wants you to preach the gospel, we want you to go. So that's to be commendable. This congregation started primarily by a group of men and their families that wanted to be active in spreading the gospel of Christ. And I can say that you've been very successful in doing that. I want to share some thoughts with you. You know, Jesus often taught in parables. And I always wondered in some of those parables that as he was presenting the parable, that there was actually something like that actually taking place. In the parable of the sower, was there actually somebody pretty close to them just sowing the seed and so forth? And other such things. And so maybe today is kind of a parable. Use Veterans Day as a parable and then make the application. But when the founders of our country penned the document that declared our independence from Great Britain, they revealed the very heart and soul of our nation. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America is dedicated to the self-evident truth, quote, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Charging King George of England with violating, quote, the laws of nature and nature's God, our founding fathers determined to establish a new government. To this cause, they appealed to, quote, the supreme judge of the world for the rectification of the wrongs, unquote, they had suffered at the hands of an oppressive government, and declared their independence as a sovereign nation. In so doing, they pledged their, quote, support of this declaration with firm reliance on the protection and divine providence, and mutually pledged to each other their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. In 1787, Benjamin Franklin told the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia that each of their sessions had been opened with prayers. He told his fellow delegates, quote, In the beginning of our contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayers in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed the frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. And have we now forgotten this powerful friend? Or do we no longer need his assistance? End quote. Based upon that, we find that every session of Congress is to begin with prayer. Thomas Jefferson wrote, quote, "Can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that their liberties are the gift of God?" End quote. The first free exercise clause of the First Amendment of the Constitution guarantees Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Only a lawyer could misunderstand the plain meaning of these words. The government is prohibited from setting up a state religion, but no barriers will be erected against the practice of any religion. The separation of church and state, as it's often called, in our Constitution is not there to protect government from religion, but to protect religion from government. Untold numbers of sacrifices have been made in preserving and protecting the self-evident truth that all men are created equal. Memorial Day is set aside to recognize and remember the price of our freedom that was paid with the shed blood of beloved family members and friends. Veterans Day is set aside to recognize and honor those who have served in military services but did not necessarily die in their service. Why our veterans deserve this recognition and honor. They did not serve to be honored. Rather, they considered it an honor to protect and defend our freedoms that are secured by the Constitution of our country. Succeeding generations of our forefathers identified the enemies of our freedom and the Constitution and rose to meet them while appealing to the same superintending providence that our forefathers did. Those who answer the call of our nation honor us and themselves and their dedication. They humble us with their service and their sacrifice, and they inspire us to courage. May we honor our forefathers with the same courage and sacrifice that is our heritage. May liberty and justice for all continue to be realized in generations that follow ours, because we continue to resolve to be one nation under God. While the citizens of our nation remember and honor the veterans of our military services, citizens of the Kingdom of Christ need to remember the veterans of faith. First and foremost, of course, being God, the Father, our benevolent Heavenly Father, who sacrificed His own Son, that whosoever trusts and obeys Him might not perish, but have everlasting life, as He tells us in John 3 and verse 16. Jesus Christ, the Word of God made flesh, John chapter 1 and verse 14, suffered for our sins and literally paid the price for them with his blood shed in his death on the cross. He triumphantly rose from the dead 3 days later, securing our hope of redemption, reconciliation, and rest in the practice of righteousness and the blessed assurance of heaven for those who glorify God in the practice thereof. The Holy Spirit reveals the will of God through the Word of God. He guided the apostles into all truth, the practice of which places us in Christ, free from our sins, embracing a valid hope of eternal life in his presence. The apostles faithfully made known to mankind the things which the Holy Spirit teaches, as we're told in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 13. Although doing so brought them persecution, imprisonment, exile, and death. First century Christians that we read of in the New Testament, especially through the book of Acts that we've begun to engage in our adult Bible classes. First century Christians continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They experienced great persecution and went everywhere preaching the word. So much so that the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven. Those of old, in the inspired words of Hebrews 11 and verses 33 through 38, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight enemies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yes, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted and slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world is not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. From the first century to the present day, there have been veterans of the cross who lived and died in the ranks of those who heard and practiced the one faith that comes by hearing the Word of God and is seen in those who trust and obey it. They are not in the majority. Rather, they are among the few that walk the straight and narrow way that leads to life in God. They are the salt of the earth, who preserve the earth by the practice of righteousness, while encouraging good and honest hearts to do the same, knowing that God's will is that all should come to Him in repentance rather than perish in their sin. Many have had fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, friends and neighbors turn against them and treat them as enemies, as Jesus said would happen. in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, verses 36 through 37. No faithful veteran of the cross served in the ranks of the saved in the pursuit of honor. Rather, they considered it an honor to serve the Creator and the Savior. Some have received notation in the pages of history for their service in the Lord. Most have been forgotten within a generation or two. But the seeds they have planted have continued to produce after their own kind. Their labor in the Lord has not been in vain, but continues to produce the fruit of righteousness, glorifying God thereby. Honor our present day veterans of the cross, godly parents, grandparents, faithful teachers and preachers, elders, deacons, and all faithful brothers and sisters in Christ who continue to exhort one another daily. Put into practice their faithful instruction and secure your freedom in Christ. Because, as Jesus said, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. John 8, verse 36. We have inherited such a rich legacy. When you realize that the constitution of our faith is God's inspired word, entrusted to us, given to us, that we might be saved. But more importantly, I believe that we might honor Him, glorify Him in the practice of righteousness that He instructs us in from His Word. You know, the Hebrew writer there in Hebrews chapter 11 talked about all of those men and women of faith who heard and trusted the Word of God and practiced what they were told to do. We come to chapter 12 and he says, seeing that we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Lay aside every sin, every weight, and the sin that does so easily beset us. The Hebrew writer throughout this letter was talking about how that people had laid aside their belief to embrace a false doctrine, the false doctrine of that day and age of Judaism. They still considered themselves to be Christians, but by perverting the gospel of Christ, they had actually placed their inheritance in danger. The Hebrew writer is calling them back. He's telling them, don't go back like your forefathers wanted to go back to Egypt. Don't you make the same mistake and go back to the Mosaic law. We need to be constantly reminded, don't go back. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. What is that? It's the sin of unbelief. It's the sin of focusing on ourself, doing our will instead of glorifying God by doing His will. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us fight with courage the war that we are engaged in with a roaring lion that seeks to devour us. We're not ignorant of his devices. We're aware of our temptations and our weaknesses. Let us be strong in the Lord. Let us look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, but he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For we consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. When it seems like the burdens of life get so great that you're just not going to be able to bear and stand up for Jesus, to carry the banner of the cross, look to Jesus. Look how he was tempted and tested. And then look at all of the others who trusted in God and his word and did his will. The pages of God's word says their names are written in heaven. Our names are written there. If we have been born into Christ, if we've had this seed of his word implanted in our heart and we're bearing fruit to his glory, we have the promise that our names are written there. And that we'll hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." What a rejoicing day that will be when we are gathered with all of the faithful forever and ever and ever. Seeing we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, will you lay aside your sin? Will you turn to him to live for him? Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Except you repent, you will perish. If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. He who believes and is baptized will be saved." If you haven't done that, but you want to be saved, and you want to join the ranks of the faithful in Christ Jesus, we'd encourage you to do so today. If you're here today and you're a child of God, but you're out of favor with him, you need to be restored to him. James tells us to confess our faults one to another, to pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.